Praise God. It's a privilege to bring God's word. And the worship was powerful this morning, you know. And I think we have the greatest honor and privilege of coming into God's presence, and that he wants to know us, and that he loves each one of us individually and perfectly, because he's a perfect God. And he says that his exact essence is love, and his heart towards us is love. But I just got a bottle of water there, you know, and I was thinking, you know, what God can do. The name of it is River Rock, you know, like the water. I was thinking of when God caused water to come out of the rock in the Old Testament. And there's another name that says deep, refreshed, still water, you know. And that's my heart today. And I think it's God's heart that he wants to pour out on each one of us. He wants us to know him in ways that we fully understand who he is and who we are. So, Father, we just thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for your word. I thank you for each person here, Father. Lord, I pray for every heart and every mind, Father. I pray for such a stillness to come over this place, Lord God, that we would be still and know that you are God, that you are the Lord, that you are our Savior, that you are our Redeemer, that you are our Father, that you are the one that comforts us, that you are the one that heals us, oh God. So, Lord, we just give you the highest honor in this place, Lord. And we say that your name is above every other name. In Jesus' name, amen. And the topic I got to preach on was steps to miracles. And sometimes, you know, we can think there's many steps to miracles, or there's the ABC of stepping out in God, and there is. But I think the most important is seeking Jesus, spending time with Jesus, having a close relationship with him, being in fellowship with him. It's out of intimacy where everything flows. To know him is everything. God has so many names and titles. He is our Savior, our Father, our Lord, our friend, our counselor, our provider. He's a miracle worker. He's all knowing. And spending time with him is when our eyes are opened. I was just thinking, you know, as I was prepared in Jordan the week, the Lord showed me a pair of glasses. And I seen the glasses being cleaned. And what I felt the Lord was saying, he wants us to have a clear view of him. Like what Louise preached last week about Zacchaeus up in the tree. He wanted a clear view of Jesus. You know, the Bible says, what good is a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? The Bible says that Jesus is the only way. There's no other way. He is everything. So guys, I'm just going to pray this over as it's Ephesians 1 and the Apostle Paul prayed it. So guys, even really just receive today. The Lord wants to speak to your heart and receive from him. It's like a father coming. Elijah came there earlier and he had two bottles of water. And I had a bottle of water and I took a capful and gave it to him. And that's not that it's just about a capful. But God wants to give us what he wants to give us, because we're his children, because he loves us, because he cares about us, because he sent his son to the cross. He sent his son that each one of us would come into relationship with him. How much more now that we're his children? So for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And that is a powerful scripture. That God wants each one of us to know the inheritance we have. He wants us to know that it's all in his son. He wants us to know that we don't have to run here, there, and everywhere, but we come to him, spend time with him, be in relationship with him, be in close fellowship with him. And Louise was saying something downstairs. The Lord is always knocking. He's a gentleman. He won't bustle his way in. He won't rush in. He's a gentleman. And he wants us to open all of our lives to him so he can come in and take over of everything. And when he takes over, that's when it all starts flowing. The Bible says that in order to find your life, you have to lose it. You know? So guys, let's just tune into what God is saying. In Genesis 1, in the beginning, when God made creation, he created all things. And in 1 Genesis 27, it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. So God has created man, the earth, and everything in it. And we know the story of Adam and Eve. Sin came into the picture. They disobeyed God. They listened to a lie. They believed a lie. They didn't believe. Not that he didn't even believe, but they listened to what the enemy was saying. And they disobeyed God. Sin comes into the picture, separates man from God. They were put outside the garden. And God had a plan in store to bring us back to himself. And that plan was through his son. Past, present, and future. Every single person that's ever lived, God has a plan for their life. To bring them back to himself. And that's why he sent his son to the cross. In Ephesians 2, we were made alive again in Christ. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God who is rich, and just think about that, God who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I was just thinking that we've been made alive again in Christ. We're seated in Christ. Everything is in Christ. Nothing is outside of him. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incorruptible riches of his grace. And I was thinking of that word last night. The incorruptible riches of God's grace. It's beyond our understanding. His love is perfect. He was nailed to a cross. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was despised. He was rejected. It says he was unrecognizable. He took our punishment that we could go free. It was for freedom that Christ came to set us free. Each one of us. And I think if we get the understanding of that, of what Jesus has done, I'm telling you, we live a different life. We'll live a radical life. We'll live a holy life. We'll live a righteous life because we'll give everything to him. So he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by work so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork. Created. I was thinking of when I was talking about that in the when God created mankind in the beginning. And here he is again creating us in Christ Jesus. That we've been made alive in Christ. That we've been born again of the Spirit of God. That he's making this new creation. That is in relationship with him again. That is in fellowship with him. That is walking with him like Adam and Eve did in the garden. There's no more separation. But God, when God gave his son, he gave everything. To bring us back into that right alignment. That there's a direct access that we can walk with God, talk with God, communicate with God, laugh with God, cry with God, live with God, because he's awesome and he's powerful. And he loves us unconditionally. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, he's removed their transgressions from us. He doesn't hold that against us. He's a loving father. And that's why the incorruptible riches of his grace, no money could buy salvation. No money can buy God. He's beyond it. He owns it all. He created everything. The hills, the cattle, the gold, the thing. It all belongs to him because he made it in the first place. And it says, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God bring us back into relationship and back into fellowship, and now he has a plan for us. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old is gone. The new is here." And if you've given your life to Christ Jesus, the Bible says you're a new creation. You're a new creation. You're born of the Spirit of God. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's who you are, full stop. We often, because of our life's experience, we can find it hard to see ourselves as this new creation sometimes. We often hear the terms being used in the church, such as sanctification, or being made holy, or being made righteous. Although we are already holy and righteous and set apart unto God, there is a journey of healing, deliverance, growing in your understanding of who you are and who God is. Again, in Ephesians 2:10, the New Living Translation, it says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he planned for us long ago." When the Bible says we've predestined, that he's called us before the foundations of the earth, that he's chosen us, that he's adopted us into his family. Even when you think about that, before the world even began, before creation, God had you in his mind. He had you in his heart. Each one of us. It's mind blown. So we're God's masterpiece. Michelangelo, who was a great sculptor back in the past, he created Michelangelo's masterpiece of David. It was a lump of marble, and out of it he made something lovely. He began with a lump of a huge piece of solid marble and finished a piece. And when the finished piece, it was almost 70 feet high and weighed over 12,000 pounds. This was one of the finest pieces of art ever made. And if anyone hasn't seen that, even go on to the Google or something. But this man made it with his hands and tools at them times that you're just thinking, how did he do that? It was just genius. And how he done it was because God gave him the gift to do it. So this was one of the finest pieces of art ever made. The sculpturing of David was a process. For 2 years, day in and day out, Michelangelo worked on this piece. It was a bit like us, the potter and the clay. Every day the Lord is working on us, each one of us. We need to allow him to mold us and to shape us to be more like him. I was thinking, you know, God has created each one of us. And only the maker, if there's anything broken in us, he knows how to fix us. You know, he has the manual of our lives. It's like a car, when you buy a car, you get the manual, tells you everything about the car, how it works, how it ticks, what to use in it. And it's the same with us. He is the author of our lives. He is the maker. He is the creator. So how best would he know how to bring us back into that right place? And we can be very, some people, I know in my own life, I was very broken when I came to the church. And it's been a process. Came from my mother and father broke up when I was a kid. And from a very young age, I was running away from home. My education was destroyed. I had loads of rejection in my life. I was reacting through anger and hurt. And I could go on and go on. I ended up on drink, on drugs, and all of that type of thing. When I was 23 years of age, I ended up in treatment. I was out there trying everything to change. I was out there trying detoxes. I was out there trying moving to different places. I was out there trying everything in my own strength to try to change my life. And I ended up getting into a treatment center when I was 23 years of age. And I tell you, I would have done anything. And that's the truth. I knew I would have died, and I'm not deluded in saying that. I got into the treatment center, and someone handed me a prayer. And it was, "Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father but through him." And I must have prayed that prayer a million times every day, because I was terrified. My mind was telling me to go back out and have a drink or do this. And I didn't trust my own mind even. And anyway, I ended up staying in that treatment center for 10 and a half months. And I experienced God like I never experienced before. I mean, I was only thinking, I was like, Lord, put that hunger in me again. I used to go out and sit in the forest for hours. And if I bored, like there was different things. I just wanted to be with God. And regardless of the costs of that, I didn't care. He was everything. Because I knew he was at the touch of my life. And I knew he had me clean 10 and a half months. And there was nothing, I never experienced love like that, ever. So, and anyway, here I am today, 22 years nearly later, free from drink, drugs, cigarettes, a married man, a home, a job, a child. Why? Because Jesus came into my life. I met Jesus. And even on that journey, I'd done many things. I went to many places. I remember I was 8 years off everything. I was doing meetings. I was doing counselors. I was doing everything under the sun. But I was still broken. I wasn't involved in church. I didn't know anything about the Bible, anything like that. And I ended up coming to church. But before that, I was going into every church. I was lighting candles. I was doing everything, trying to connect with God. I was doing everything. I went to Rome on my own. And I said, if I go to the Vatican and get confession, that's the truth. That's what I was thinking. I said, if I go to the Vatican, I went. And then when I went to the Vatican, I said to the priest, why don't he sell all this and give it to the poor? So I was like, but in anyway, that's that, you know, and it's not, this is not a judgment, but that's where my heart was at, and that's being honest. But in anyway, I'm being real and honest here. I went out on my own, and I was experiencing the presence of God. Not through any type of religious thing, but through relationship with God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we come. We don't come through a set of regulations and rules and all of that. We just come to Jesus. And it's in a place of freedom. We don't have to do a hop, skip, and a jump. We just have to say, here I am, Lord. Because he loves us and he cares about us. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Look what Louise said there. He's abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor repay us according to our iniquities. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so far is his love for those who fear him. So great, sorry, is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God's mercies are new every day for each one of us. When we fall down, we come to Jesus. And I remember years ago, we went to the Father Heart of God. There was a man, he'd done the teaching, and Ken Simington was his name. And he gave us all a handkerchief. He says, now I want you to do, it was like a symbolic, he says, when you ask Jesus to forgive you, wipe the hanky on you and throw it away. Put it in the bin, because your sin is being dealt with. And I thought it was a great analogy. I was thinking of it last night. You know, sometimes we repent and we ask the Lord to forgive us, but we still, and we're at the Lord's at the forgiveness, and we're still walking around thinking, he's saying, I don't remember that. But we're beating ourselves up, or we're carrying weights. And the Lord is saying, no, my yoke is easy. Think of the woman with it when she was caught in adultery. Everyone else wanted to stone her. Jesus came in and picked her up. Picked her up. He didn't condemn her. Philippians, and this is the great news for us. Being confident of this, that he who began the work. And Jackie said it to me yesterday. I didn't choose to be up here. God chose me to be up here. He chose each one of us. He has called us. And he who started the work in our life will bring it to completion. We just need to put ourselves into his hands. Praise God. John 5, the healing at the pool. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five colonnades, and here a great, and this is important, and here a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who had been an invalid for 38 years. Now guys, I was really thinking of that. It goes on, it says, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? And I was thinking, it says that loads of like blind, lame, disabled people used to sit here at these times. But, guys, we were all there at one time. We were all lame. We were all blind. The Bible says the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbeliever. And until Jesus came and gave you that revelation of who he was, we were going around not knowing God. We didn't know the things of God. We didn't know the Spirit of God. Because the Bible says we couldn't discern it because we hadn't got the Spirit of God living in us. Now, God shows himself through creation. And he shows himself to us through many things. But to know him personally, the Bible says we have to come through the Son, through Jesus Christ. So we were all in that position. We were all lost. We were all lame. We were all blind. And paralyzed in many ways. Never in a million years would I have seen myself up here speaking. So for me, the Lord has restored a lot in my life. You know, and it's the same for each one of us because he's no favorites. We're all his favorites. So we'll read on. He says, "Sir, do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stored. While I was trying to get in, someone else goes in ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up." Now, just that really, you know, if there's, get up. That's what the Lord says to us. Get up. Pick up your mat. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The Lord forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" And that's what the Lord Jesus says to each one of us, for regardless of anything. Just get up and walk. And we're walking with him. So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was. For Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. I know this is steps to miracles. The most important miracle is salvation. And each one of us has been saved. I've seen people being healed. Even in my job, there's a girl, I was only talking to her last week. She's been healed by Jesus. 100% healing. Seen another, she had some slip discs on her back. She works at a reception, so she's sitting down all day. Ended up praying for her one day and she was healed. Another girl, her legs was twice the size. They had blood clots in her legs. And they were swollen as anything. She was at a meeting up in Fisborough. And she heard somebody sharing their testimony that had cancer and they were after being healed. And she comes up to me. I'm walking up through the corridor. And she says, "Do you believe in miracles?" I was like, talk about putting you on the spot. Now, to be honest, I'm really being honest. Faith is small. I was going to her, like, if I'm really being honest, faith, talk about as small as a mustard seed or as dropping a bucket. I went over. I says, "Yeah." I says, "I'll pray with you." I ended up praying with her. And this is her own testimony. 2 days later, that girl's legs were half of the size they were. And she was totally healed. She went around sharing with her sisters, her aunts, and all this type of thing. But I realized something. Like, in all of that, this girl went back out doing different things. I'm just being really honest here. And the same with the other girl. She doesn't walk with God. She doesn't know him. So God is like the 10 lepers. The Lord healed 10 lepers, only 2 came back. So God is healing people all the time. But the most important healing, I believe, is people's eyes being open to who Jesus is. You know? It's him. And out of that, everything. And that's for us guys. Because when we get him, we get everything. You know? The full package. So later, Jesus found him at the temple. Back to this man. And he said to him, "See, you are well again." And this is Lord help us all. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. And Lord, help us to be in a vigilant place by the grace of God and by the mercy of God and by coming together with brothers and sisters, that we're able to come together. And as the Bible says, we confess to each other our sin and that we would be healed. Why do I say that? Because it's always bringing us into a place of freedom. It's not condemnation, but it's freedom. And that's what it is. And when we're in that place of freedom with the Lord, there's nothing like it. There is nothing like it. Luke 10:38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, and this is the story of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened, I thought this was beautiful, opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening. Think of that. She sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha,
I was laughing, we were talking about this the other night. But when the Lord says in Scripture, he's emphasizing something, and he's saying things twice, he's saying, Martha, he's saying, listen, this is what's important. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Now listen to this. Or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. And I thought about that. What was the Lord saying when he was saying only one thing is needed? To listen to him, to spend time with him, to sit at his feet. Because out of that place, everything else naturally flows. You know? When Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So it's his kingdom, it's his building, but we're in line and we're co-workers with Christ, but by his leading and his guiding and his direction. And we're on to the last point, so I just have to have a little drink.
Or a big one.
Praise God. Now, guys, in saying all of that, the Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I just took something out of the Old Testament as an example of a dedication. I was thinking, going back a while ago, we dedicated our son unto the Lord. And we're saying, Lord, his life is in your hands. And sometimes, fears can try to come in or whatever. And we all, especially as mothers and fathers and little arrows can come at us, But we trust in the Lord that he has everything in control and everything is in his hands. But the Bible says that, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that when we give your life to Christ, that the Spirit of God dwells in you and lives in you. You're a temple of God. And God lives in you. And there's many illustrations, even in the Old Testament, when Jesus goes into the temple. you remember, he says, my father's house will be a house of prayer. And there was other things being done in the temple. They were selling things, they were doing things, they were all ungodly things. And Jesus went out in and cleared the temple out. Because he wants, that's my father's temple. And you're his father's temple. But the dedication of the temple, it's in 2 Chronicles 7. The dedication of the temple, this is a great example of giving everything to God and laying it all down on the altar. When King Solomon, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all Israel, the Israelites saw that the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, I thought this was beautiful. It says, they knelt on the pavements with their faces to the ground and worshipped. And they gave thanks to the Lord, saying, he is good, his love endures forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 head of cattle, 120,000 sheep and goats. I was thinking of this. I was thinking, it must have been some slaughter. 120,000 sheep and goats. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And I'll read this again. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 head of cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. So the king and all the people dedicated the temple of God. They were dedicated. The people and the king at that time, basically what that is, it's sold out. It's positioning yourself by the grace of God to lay your life down. Say, Lord, here I am. I'll really be honest. I was going up the mountain last week. Sounds great, going up the mountain. But I was driving up. I wasn't walking. So I was going up to a view, the viewpoint there, up not too far from my house. And to be honest, emotionally at the time, I wasn't too good. And I made a decision, regardless of anything. That's the decision in my heart I made at that time. I put my hand up to the Lord and I just started praising him. And the minute I started praising him, the presence of God came and I broke. And God was doing something in my heart. Regardless of anything in our lives, when we put our focus on him, he will work it all out. Regardless if it's hurts, hang-ups, habits, addictions, whatever it may be, he will work it out. Because sometimes we are distracted. And the other things grab our attention. Put your attention on this. Put your attention on that. Put your attention on this. The Lord is saying, no. Put your attention on me and all the rest will be looked after. Because that's the truth. Because he looks after us. He protects us. He minds us. He provides for us. He looks after our children. He looks after us. So when we put everything into his hands, everything else is all good. Doesn't mean we won't go through battles. Doesn't mean we won't go through things in life. But it means that when we release it onto him, he will bring us through it. Whether that's hurt or whatever it may be. And after that, it says, and this really hit me, it says, the priests took their positions. That the Lord wants and has positions for each one of us, within the body. You know? He has things for us to do. He has a job for us to do. If that's the right word. To minister for him. Each one of us, excluding nobody. And it says in Romans 12, it says, lay your life down as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You'll know the good, pleasing, perfect will of God. The good, pleasing, perfect will of God when you lay your life down.
Guys, we need to be led to the cross. The cross is everything. It's where it's the provision of God is in the cross for each one of us. It's nowhere else. It's the storehouse of God that we come to the cross, that we position ourselves before Him. What I feel as well, the Lord wants each one of us to reign. And I felt, this is what I felt, we'll go into worship. But I felt the Lord saying that there's an anointing to break through on addictions. Genuinely felt that. So come up, we're going to open the altar up, and we're going to come together and worship the Lord. And we can have the worship team up, it'd be great. And boys, just that we're focused. The Bible says that Jesus came to set people free. You know, Isaiah 61. He says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on, because the Lord has anointed me to set the captives free, to release those who are in darkness." So, guys, just enter in. If the Lord has been speaking to your heart, it's only to bring you into a freer place. It's not to restrict you. It's to bring you into a place of total freedom in Him. Praise God.